You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. Okay, so I am very, very excited about today's episode because I have one of my personal coaches and one of my favorite people on the face of the earth joining me today. So her name is Pamela Horner, aka the Awakened Aphrodite. Pamela, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm so excited to be here. Oh my gosh. Ah.
So I feel like you can do a better job than I possibly could in telling everyone a little bit about yourself. So yeah, would you tell us who you are and what you're up to in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. So I teach feminine dominance, which is not female dominance. Feminine dominance is my own methodology around stepping into your dominance while maintaining your femininity, your sexy, your flow, your radiance, so that you can make more money, ask for more money, and have powerful, passionate, you know, drip-worthy relationships with ease by asking for what you want and getting it every single time. So that's what I do. And the techniques that I use are hypnotic in nature, mostly. Most of the tools that I use are hypnosis-based, as I am a master hypnotherapist and hypnotist.
Beautiful, beautiful. So what I love about working with you, and I've said this to you many times, is that there's no one like you. There's no one that teaches this. I haven't come across anything like what you do. And I feel like, I don't know, there's nuances to the things you do that I haven't found anywhere else. And the way that you've shifted things for me in my relationships, in my business, in just my general paradigm of life and where I operate from has been mind-blowing. You know, I started working with you 6 months ago, and I remember saying to my housemates back then, it's like my whole world just moved me out of this paradigm and opened me up to this whole new world. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
It's my pleasure, truly. And I love hearing that. I would also love to know, you know, if you're open to sharing, what specifically did you find shifted?
Totally. It'll
help people listening as well.
Totally. So I feel like for me, it's been a matter of moving out of, I guess, first of all, realizing how much I would consider myself a high performer. And as you know, I work with a lot of high performers. And I think most of the people listening would consider themselves to be high performers. What I didn't realize was that a lot of that was driven by anxiety. You know, I didn't realize that a lot of that was driven by like this stress state.
So common. Oh my gosh. So common. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because now that I've noticed it myself, I can literally see it everywhere. And
isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're giving me chills right now. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Totally. And I mean, I feel like you would see this as well. Like people who have the quote unquote life, you know, they've got the relationship, traveling the world, they're living their dream, and yet they're still so driven by this subtle anxiety. And so for me, I guess the big shift was actually realizing that and then choosing something different, like choosing to really still have all of the same things that I desire. You know, I still train, I still love pushing myself in the gym, I still love pushing myself in business, but rather than it being from this kind of stress state, instead coming from a place of like loving every moment of it and really, I guess, relaxing into it, you know?
That, you know what I love about you saying that, relaxing into it, is that that is a foundational sort of piece of hypnosis that I weave into a lot of what I do. So to hear you say the exact verbiage, you know, it's so strange. I just relax into it.
makes me very, very happy. I just want to tell you.
I love this. And you know what?
I love that. Well done.
I think the other thing as well for me was really realizing how much the world is sort of based on always picking on what's wrong with everything, you know, like always picking the imperfection. And of course, there's elements of that, in my opinion, that, you know, fuel progress. And I also think that when we focus on what we do like, what is perfect, what is already more than enough, you know, like that's where we really get to create transformation in every facet of our life.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the world of dominance, I very much see that as playing a game that you can win, or, you know, not even just dominance, in the game of intimacy, it's playing a game that you can actually win. And I think especially as women, we are so programmed to a degree that it destroys everything, to a degree that fundamentally it destroys intimacy. And I've seen this with people that, with women that are ridiculously wealthy and successful, right? Like they're self-made multimillionaires. And yet they, in terms of their intimate lives, they are suffering. They are in the cold. They feel dejected, right? And they just can't feel anything anymore. And then what they do is they just sort of hide in their business. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really seek to shatter completely is that paradigm of, you know, you can't have both. You can't be powerful. You can't be sexy. You can't be radiant. And a lot of the examples that we have around success are, especially with women, right? But not limited to, obviously, is this success that is devoid of radiance, the success that is devoid of eroticism and turn on and power, right? And I don't think that that's limited to women. And yet for women, this is a thing that I really seek to shift.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So I'm sure the listeners are picking up on your unique way of languaging things, which is what I love about you, your flavor.
Hypnosis.
Would you tell us a little bit about, I guess, how you got into doing what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a bit of a multifaceted story, as I'm sure you could imagine, as I'm sure it is for everyone listening in terms of their lives. And I would say the short version is when I was 18 years old, I decided to become an exotic dancer to basically put myself through university. And I went from being laughed at, you know, like literally, could you imagine being laughed at naked on a stage? Could you imagine? Literally laughed at naked on a stage. I know, by other women, you know, that worked there, laughing and pointing and, you know, they'd make fun of me in the change room, to being generally, almost always, the most highly paid dancer at any club that I went to. And understanding male psychology. I mean, I could go into a club on a dead night and I would always make more money than anyone there. People would be like, oh my God, I'm not even going to be able to pay for gas tonight. And I would walk out with like 10x. I mean, you can't even say 10x because in many cases they were minus money because you have to actually pay fees to work there. I would walk out of there with no less than $200, you know, I mean, when people were making minus money, or $300, it wasn't, I think it was like $300. It's hard to remember, it was a long time ago, which might not sound like a lot, right? I usually made more like in the thousands. However, you know, if we're talking about people making minus money, right, just to show an example there. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much about men. Oh my God, I learned so much about men. And then I went on with my life. I pretended I never danced. You know, I was like, oh, this is going to the grave. Saw a few people from high school that recognized me. I was like, well, I guess it's not going to the grave. And then I got into real estate and I started to coach real estate agents. I became a hypnotherapist. I started to coach people that were really successful, people that were making multiple millions of dollars a year. And what I found was that their relationships and their intimacy and their relationship to sexuality was really broken. And it's strange because we're not talking about working with people who that work for like the DMV, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you work for the DMV, you are not motivated by the stress of getting paid, mm-hmm. right? You're not motivated by the stress of getting paid. In real estate, it's all commission-based. And so people in real estate usually have a tangible sort of sexuality to them, if you are aware of such things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this? Like, you know, it's like this. And obviously in the strip club, it was like that. So I was acutely aware of that energy, right? I thought to myself, is it just me? Or is everyone who's successful in this office, are they like kind of like dancers? You know, it kind of reminded me of being in that environment. And so in that, I started to explore and I started to dive deeper. You know, what is the relationship between sexuality and sex, and not bang, bang sex, but sex as in sexual energy and success. And then I stumbled upon, as I'm sure you know, Napoleon Hill, right? Where he talks about in Think and Grow Rich, he talks about the correlation between sexual energy and success. And then what I found was that people that were successful in sales had this raw sexual energy, just like that was why I made so much money as an exotic dancer, right? I had this innate raw sexual energy that other people didn't. And it didn't matter that we were all beautiful. It didn't matter that we were all naked, right? Like it was the energy. I mean, I made more money than people that were way more beautiful than me, right? Over and over again. And so with that being said, I started to dive into what is it? What is it that makes people super successful? And what I found with these people that were multimillionaires is when you actually tweaked their sexual energy to sort of work for them in a self-sustaining way, everything in their life exploded. It's like they entered a new world of existence in their relationships, in their businesses, in their life. Because the thing that I want everyone to be aware of is there are many millionaires that actually don't make any money every month. Many, 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 many. There are many millionaires that actually are not making any sort of profit. And so you got to be really careful sort of in your judgments and assessments of people that have that kind of money, because it may or may not even mean anything. And when I started to see behind the curtain of that as well, and don't get me wrong, like they live in really nice houses in some cases and they have the nice cars, but they're just breaking even, right? They're just breaking even. And so when I learned that, the other thing that I did was at that time, I make much more than this now, obviously, but at that time I said, fuck this. I would rather be with myself and make $3,000 a month and live, you know, in Mexico or live on the beach somewhere, because I get to keep, let's call it like, you know, obviously this isn't accurate, but 2,500 of that, 2,000 of that. And that's more than some of these people that are millionaires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's all, I know I've digressed there a little bit. That though is what set me out on this journey to getting, helping women and people tap into their sexual energy in a way that actually overflows versus this contracted bang, bang, bang. What do they call it? Is it the bunny rabbit sex? What do they call that one? It's just like bang, bang, bang. The
jackrabbit?
Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
That sort of jackrabbit sexual energy, which creates high highs and low lows and in business and creates high highs and low lows in your love life.
Yeah.
And bring it into this self-sustaining ecosystem that flows and grows. And what I will say about this is that it can take a little bit more time to see results when you are based in pleasure. So this is why some people kind of don't actually do it. They're afraid, they don't make the transition, because it can actually take a little bit more time. And that's not a belief that I want you to hold, by the way. So for all of my people that are into the world of mindset and your beliefs and your assumptions, please shift that, right? Do your due diligence, shift that assumption, and just know that pain motivates much faster and with better results than pleasure every single time, unless you've worked with me, unless you've rewired your neural pathways to shift this via, you know, hypnosis or unconscious rewiring work via neuroplasticity, right? Unless you've done that, and if you are just a person who's not done any of that work, that's okay. Just know that pain is going to motivate you every single time more and with better results. The problem with pain is that it is short-lived. It is short-lived, and there is major burnout from that. And the fall is long and it's hard and not in a good way. Not long, hard, and thick and deep.
It's long, it's hard, it's treacherous in the worst way possible. So pleasure can take a bit more time. However, the results far surpass pain-based motivations.
Totally.
By a landslide.
Totally. I always use the quote in my work, you know, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. And I definitely feel like that's been my experience, especially since working with you. Like the more I've taken away kind of that, I mean, for me, the pain point always created this sense of urgency, you know? So like you said, it was
exactly,
it was this quick motivation, but then I would burn out. Whereas being so much more driven towards pleasure rather than away from that pain,
right?
I feel like I can now just kind of cruise into where I want to be, you know, in all facets of my life, rather than kind of sprinting towards it and then having to rest for days and recover, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I do know. I mean, I'm sure you find this as well. I find this in business. I find this in my love life. I find this in working out with my health, you know, where I remember when in my relationships, I saw a psychic once who started pulling these cards and she said, "Oh my God, what's with you in these firecracker relationships?" I will always remember because it was these love affairs that I don't really write about them now, but I used to a lot. You could write novels about, right? These crazy, wild, you meet someone in an airport and you just like have this wild sort of tryst. The problem though, is that they would always fall flat on their face. And then I would feel like I was coming off a drug, you know, I could barely get out of bed for weeks at a time and it would disrupt my whole fucking life. And I got to a place, and I did this in my business. I did this with the gym. You know, I'd go to the gym for 3 hours. I would work out until I was like laying on the floor, shaking, begging for mercy, you know, and it just was ruining my life. I mean, I did this with drugs. I did this with alcohol. And I think that this is common amongst high-performing people, that sort of obsession, that sort of fixation. I always find this with high performing people, and there are ways, and all of that is sexual energy. Mm. All of that is sexual energy coming out sideways, right? Mm. And it's perpetuated by these feelings of not feeling enough. And so there's not enough. There won't ever be enough when you're in that state. And moving into feminine dominance is one of the ways, right? There are other ways, of course, but this is the best way. It's the best way because it's the sexiest fucking way. Is one of the ways that you can just actually become a different person in love, in business, in health. And so it works really, really well when you do that.
Mm. So I'm still really caught on that piece you said that in real estate, a lot of the really successful salesmen were, you know, had this kind of sexual energy about them.
And
I have a lot of friends in real estate and I've spent a lot of time in real estate offices. And it's so true. As you said it,
you've
like,
noticed
oh
it
my
too.
God. Yeah. Well, I didn't notice it's it until real. You mentioned it. But now I've just been sitting here in my head thinking of all the successful real estate agents that I know. And yeah, they've all got that kind of that flavor of like a really subtle sexuality. And it's really funny. My housemate and I, we have this particular favorite real estate agent. We were looking for a house together years ago. We have this favorite real estate agent that we would run into all the time. And we would sort of laugh because he was so gorgeous, and he had this really like incredible, super subtle sexual energy, and we were like, come on, like let's get a house through him, like, you know, because yeah, he just had this energy to him.
Because why? I really want to see if you can pick. I think you can. Why do you think?
It was that magnetism. Like it was kind of this unconscious, like, yeah, just he was magnetic, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And because of how he made you feel.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because of how he made you feel, right?
Totally.
So sexual energy is one of the ways, not the only way, there's many ways, of putting people into an instant trance.
Mm.
And when you are able to put people into feeling trances, which is one of the things that I teach you to do, I'm sure you can even feel it right now. I can feel it right now, right? Yeah. The state where you just sort of start to let go. You feel sort of your inner thigh areas start to open. It's almost like your heart rate feels like it should be fast, but it actually starts to slow down. And it feels almost like a bit of anxiety if you're not used to this feeling, but what it actually is excitement. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is unalchemized excitement, as one of my mentors always says. And excitement is the energy, is one of the foundational sort of energies within sexual energy. And so he probably made you feel excitement.
Totally. I love how you just did that. I'm like, oh my God, Pamela, I'm blushing. Stop.
I know. It's the best though, right? It's
right. The best. So good.
Yeah.
So he
probably made you feel excitement.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you look at the most successful real estate agents and salespeople, they are excited people.
Mm.
They are excited people. Can I tell sort of like an unrelated but quick story? Because I think it's just sort of part of this. In my dating life, well, let me just say this. So many people don't think that I'm a boring person. And one of the assumptions that I have held about myself for a very long time, and I kind of shift back and forth with, is that I kind of think I'm boring, to be honest. You know, it's an assumption I've had for a really long time. People think that I live this crazy lifestyle. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I do. Like, I do things. And I used to be wild, right? Like, I used to work as an exotic dancer. I used to do crazy shit all the time to where I, you know, had adrenal fatigue and blew out my fucking nervous system. And so in comparison, I kind of catch myself a lot of times going, you know, it's so weird that people think I live this exciting life and that I actually feel quite boring a lot of the time.
I relate to this, by the way.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I don't really do that much. I remember, you know, dating this guy not that long ago, and he just assumed that I always needed to be going and going, and yet staying at his house and waking up in the morning, he was like, okay, should we, you know, he was thinking of all these exciting things we could do. And I just said, can I just lay here and journal? I mean, come on. And he was relieved, right? He was relieved. I think it was in that moment that he was like, oh my God, I love her. I actually love her. And this boring quality used to be one of the things that actually fucked with my relationships really hard. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of hard to explain the nuance there, but effectively, I wasn't ever actually relaxed, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought it was boring, but what I'm really talking about is relaxation. So I am a very relaxed person. I prioritize relaxation above everything. I'm actually way more boring now by definition than I've ever been in my life, which I love, by the way. I love this. Whereas before, people would actually say to me, you know, Pamela, there's something, you know, there's something in dating, this is, you know, Pamela, there's something about your energy. I don't know, like I find you boring. You know, I used to get that a lot.
Wow.
And to be fair, I worked I mean, I worked until like 12 a.m. I had no life. Like everything was work, work, work. So there's other facets to that. But I find it really fascinating that now I am actually probably more boring, technically, but way more excited internally in my nothingness, mm-hmm. in my journaling, in my sitting in nature and meditating for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in a day at any given time, right? Mm-hmm. And people find me very exciting. It's a really interesting thing. It's because my energy has shifted. And when your energy shifts, it's about your beingness. When you are being this depth of feminine energy, which is relaxation and excitement in that, it's much more than that as well. People will find you irresistibly attractive in every single way, in business, in relationship. And so I know that was a massive tangent, and yet I felt called to tell that story.
No, I love that. I feel like
so many people will resonate with that.
Totally. I mean, the image that I get is like the lady of leisure, you know, like just sitting back. Mm-hmm. And I was actually just having this conversation today of like the image of like the queen who just kind of like lounges on her throne, and she's so powerful that, you know, all she kind of has to do is just like make the order and like kind of, you know, lift her hand and it's done, you know, versus, exactly. you know, someone who kind of has to play this role of the workhorse to make the same thing happen, you know? So that's kind of the image that I get, just this queen kind of like just lounging on her throne who, yeah, just one word, one request creates this entire ripple effect that other people yes. who aren't so tapped into their power would have to, you know, really like slave away to make that same level happen, you know?
Totally. And you know, it's so funny. I thought you said workhorse, not workhorse, which is appropriate because I think that as women, I know I used to do this. We also figure out how to effectively pimp out our sexual energy and our sexuality in order to get things. And that is another thing that works really well until it doesn't. Until, yes. again, you're drained, you feel used, you feel like a fucking doormat, people don't appreciate you. And this, again, is in business and it is in love and in pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I think also, too, with the queen, you know, requesting, there's a difference there in good dominance and bad dominance, right? Where the queen says, do this, and everyone does it out of fear. That is bad dominance, which is effective again until it isn't. Mm. And there's a difference between the queen creating invitations for everyone around her to step up and in to more delight, more experience, more pleasure. And it's not that people are sort of serving her, it's that people are partaking in the experience of life that she creates in such a unique way. They don't have to be there. And yet they find that they can't help themselves. They find that there's something deep inside of them that motivates them to be there because they are all part of this delicious experience that she's creating. They are all part of these windows, these doors, these levels opening for them. And so in that, they are inherently motivated to be a part of that.
Mm, I love that. It's that nuance again, that yes. nuance that we spoke about at the beginning, you know, that, yeah, from fear or from you know, pleasure or from the pain point or from pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
The nervous system is literally the foundation for your performance and emotional and mental equilibrium. The degree at which you'll allow yourself to stay focused, perform well, and excel in your chosen pursuits, be those vocational, relational, financial, athletic, the list goes on, comes down to how flexible and adaptable your nervous system is through a variety of stresses, pressures, and the joys and pleasures of life as well. Thing is, it's not just about processing the sticky points of life, but processing the ease as well.
After working with high performers across business and sport, I took everything I've learned about the nervous system and I packaged it up into my self-paced online program, Rewire the Nervous System. With Rewire the Nervous System, you get access to weekly audio trainings via the exclusive members portal. You get lifetime access to our ever-expanding nervous system regulation toolkit, which means that you have the tools readily available via your device. You get lifetime access to our twice monthly live hot seat coaching calls and your Majesty's Sacred Circle ceremonies, as well as access to the call replays in our growing call vault in the members portal. You'll get weekly tasks, challenges, and journal prompts all relevant to your unique goals and desires. You'll get exclusive access to ongoing support and bonus trainings in the Rewire the Nervous System Facebook group. And of course, you'll get access to a growing, like-minded community of incredible high performers. So if Rewire the Nervous System sounds like the right fit for you, or you want to know a little bit more information, head to www.briannaboley.com/rewirethens or follow the link in the show notes. So you mentioned as you were telling your story, that piece around, you know, when you first started as a dancer, having that experience of other women laughing at you on stage.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm just imagining it and it hurts my heart.
Even as you said it, I kind of forgot about it for a second.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah.
I do remember.
This is what I deeply, deeply love about you, that you are, in my experience, such a stand for women supporting women. And, you know, you and I have had conversations about this. That, yeah, you have this boundary against women who will try and tear other women down.
Oh, yes.
And I think that that is sadly, and maybe this is my own bias because, you know, you're familiar with parts of my story that I've had experiences of women really trying to tear me down, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, this is, it's so rare nowadays. And so that's something that I really admire about you, that you are such a stand for women supporting women. And truly, you know, truly, I think it's really easy to say women supporting women, but I feel like you really embody that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel so happy.
Of course.
Yeah, it is a thing that I fundamentally stand for, not only because, you know, it's affected me personally in terms of not only that experience, but I was bullied for most of my adolescent life. You know, I was bullied as a child. I was bullied as, you know, as a teenager. And it was always for things that were related to being a woman. And so fundamentally, this is just the thing I've always, of course, stood for. And the biggest reason, aside from that, is that women are programmed in the patriarchal world that we live in to tear each other down. And so what it represents to me is so much deeper, right? It's so much deeper. It's like, oh, you are basically, if someone is tearing down another woman, I see them as an agent. You know, I'm quite intense about it. I'm quite intense about it, actually. I see them as an agent, really working for the opposition in many ways. Mm-hmm. And there's a time to have those conversations, right? There's a time and a place to have those conversations and to call people into them. And I think the other thing there is really taking away the shame. I've done this, right? I've done this before. Okay. I think as women, the thing is we've all done this. Yeah. We've all torn down other women because we were taught to. And sometimes the urge is still there, right? And so I think that the self-control piece that I teach inside of dominance and radical responsibility is one of the things that really helps with that. And I really seek to create containers where it calls in women that are willing to take that self-responsibility, who are willing to go, oh my God, I'm having this trigger and response to not celebrate this woman or to, you know, tear her down or something. And I notice this is not what I think it is. This isn't a genuine urge, but instead this is a reflection of the programming trying to be released inside of me. And because I am a self-responsible queen, I refuse to act on this. It's okay that I feel this way, and I refuse to take action from this place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I really, you know, having worked in your containers, which are, you know, female only, at least the one that I was a part of.
Yeah, currently they are.
It's funny because I look at my history of coaches. I've worked with a lot of coaches over the years. I've been coached by a lot of people over the years. And I always chose to work with men. And for me.
Oh, really? Yes. I did not know this about you.
Yeah. So I've always worked with men. And it wasn't until someone pointed it out to me. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so unconscious. Like, it was not something that I was consciously aware of. And it wasn't until it was pointed out to me that I actually went, okay, like, let's change this up. And so I kind of begrudgingly went out and got a female coach. So this was back in, like, I think this was last year. And when I kind of dug into it, it was that piece of, like, that I felt like I couldn't truly trust a female to actually want me to rise, you know, that men being held by a male coach, like, they truly wanted to lift me and they really wanted me to succeed. And so, yeah. And then I guess coming to work with you and working within, like, a group of females, it's been really beautiful to, for the first time ever at the depth that I've experienced, to actually really witness women willing to do the work, you know. And, like, we've had things arise, as you mentioned, you know, had those patterns play out, but to be able to actually catch them and take responsibility for them and then actually alchemize them, it's been incredibly healing and, yeah, just the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that giving people, so one, thank you for saying that. Oh my gosh, as you were saying that, I just closed my eyes and I could feel my heart sort of blossoming open with just your words of gratitude. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so happy to hear that that was your experience. And I just love having you in the Mistress Mind, and I'm excited to have you in for the next round. And I love having you. It's amazing. And I love who you are and as a woman and a human and what you stand for and what you also call other people into. So thank you for that. And yeah, you're right. I mean, these things do arise, right? They absolutely do arise in groups with women. And I actually think that it's a thing that people don't speak about in groups with women. I mean, I've had to leave group with women, especially as someone in their sexuality, because not only are women programmed to tear down other women, right? And again, I think we've started to really move away from this a lot. In our society. And yet it does still exist, right? Because it's part of the programming that I think so many of us receive. This is 100 million times more true if you are a woman who is in her sexuality, if you are what would be considered a whore, right? And I say whore with love, I say whore with explosion and turn on and acceptance, right? If you are a woman who is in her sexual energy, I mean, I have been in containers that were supposedly, how do I say, sexuality friendly, sex friendly? I don't know if that's the best way of saying it. Welcoming, based in sexuality. And if they weren't kink based, because I have lived a kink based lifestyle, right, in my life. And you know, I'm not currently living a BDSM lifestyle right now. And yet that is still one of the things that I love and that I play with. And so for me, even in these, in some cases, sexuality, feminine sexuality based containers, I was shamed and ostracized, you know, and because of the, and I was paying shitloads of money to be there, by the way, shitloads of money to be there. And in all of that, it just motivated me even more to create containers where expressions of kink and sexuality and turn on are not only welcome, they're celebrated, they're encouraged, and the shame is really eliminated from them. Because how can you grow? How can you flourish? How can you be in your power as a woman if you're being, if you're constantly in fear of who you are and potentially being shamed for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
This is, for me, you've served as a real permission slip. I've definitely had the experience, you know, as I think so many women have, of really being shamed for being in my sexuality. And so it was something that I wasn't even aware that I had shut down. And it's quite funny. And because I want to share this because I'm sure that there may be someone listening who aligns with this experience. When I first connected with you, and I've told you this, so this is no surprise to you, I was like, who the fuck is this slut? the triggering that came up for me was so intense. And I remember like kind of rolling my eyes and thinking, who is this bitch, you know?
I love this.
And yet there was something about you where I was like, oh, but I want to know more. Like, she really pisses me off and I want to know more. I think that potentially, well, you know, I'm such a believer that anything that really triggers us is an invitation. So for anyone that's listening who may be feeling triggered, I really encourage you to explore that, because I'm very, very grateful that I had the courage and I guess the self-awareness to actually sit and go, no, there's something here in this for me. The level of which I'm feeling triggered by Pamela, there's something in this for me. And then, of course, you know, fast forward a year or two later, and yeah, it's been one of the most transformative experiences of my life.
I love that so much. And I, you know, it's funny because me triggering people used to be an assumption that I held, and I kind of forgot about it, to be honest. I forgot that that was even an assumption that I had ever had. And so hearing you talk about that was really fascinating. I went, oh, that's right. I used to actually think that as well. And now I don't. And so it's an interesting experience to be on the other side of that and to be giggling and laughing and, you know, and it feels almost like you're talking about someone else when I hear you. I'm like, who are you talking about? Couldn't possibly be me. So it's funny to hear that sort of shift even within myself in that. Yeah. And I'm curious, what do you think? I mean, of course I could guess, but what do you think it was that triggered you? And what do you think it was that drew you in? Inside of you, yes, inside of you.
I think
not
that there
me,
was
inside yeah, of you.
Totally. I think that you were mirroring to me that there was a power within me that I had suppressed and I had denied and I had locked down. And yeah, you know, I really remember seeing you in your power. And yeah, you were just mirroring to me that, like, there's something here, Bree. There's something here for you that you're denying. And yeah, that started the journey.
And what was it? What was it that you were denying?
It's that sexuality piece. It was the power of being connected to myself in that way, you know, essentially everything that we've talked about, not being driven by pain to the same degree and being more connected to pleasure, to what I desire from my life, to really being present and able to feel myself and feel each moment rather than, you know, kind of just coasting through in order to get to the next thing.
Yeah. And I think what you're describing is wanting to be alive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't mean alive. I mean, potentially alive. I've certainly had that as a bit of a theme with a lot of the work that I do. I mean, alive, alive, living, wanting to fucking live, to taste, to feel, to suck, to allow, to expand, to, you know, revel in and experience. Because what is $1 million in your bank account if every time you open your bank account, you have a fucking panic attack? And I know people that do that.
Totally.
What is the relationship that you've always dreamt of if you're waking up every day wanting to run because you actually don't know how to hold love and be loved and you don't trust it, right? What are any of those things if you can't actually be present to the love and the life that is unfolding, that is yours, right? And fear disconnects us from that. Right. And here's my prayer for people that do feel afraid to work with me, because I think it is a very common thing. That piece of fear gets to be your final initiation. That piece of fear gets to be your final motivation. Not that I want you to be motivated by fear, I don't. In that, though, I think that there's something beautiful that you get to look at and see and transform in that transformation, that you get to make that sort of final transformation in that paradigm of fear of what exists within. Because whatever you see inside of me exists inside of you, right? Whatever you see inside of me is just highlighting things that exist inside of you. And I seek to be a stand for that, especially in sexuality, right? Especially in sexuality. And if you are constantly sort of shaming yourself and judging yourself for who you are, because I don't exist outside of you, right? I don't exist outside of anyone. Then how can you be in your power, right? How can you be in your power? How can you be present to what's unfolding moment to moment to moment in your life, in your wealth, in your relationship, if you can't even be present to who you truly are, right? You feel like you have to hide all the time. You feel like you can't be who you are, right? Which I understand.
Yeah.
You can't actually be successful. You can't actually be loved. And it takes great power. In my world, I call that dominance, to go, hey, actually, this is who I am. Mm. This is who I am. Okay, you don't like it? Next.
Mm.
Right. And the way that I teach that is much more heart connected. And yet, okay, there is also a time and place to just go, okay, you don't like it. You don't like who I am. Well, that's because you probably don't like who you are. It has nothing to do with me. Yeah. I'm only here for people that are in the fuck yes vibration of me in my relationships and my business. And that is extreme dominance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you voiced that, because I want to share as well that when I first shared that piece with you about the way you had triggered me and what you, the thoughts and the judgments that you had brought up for me, your response was just, I love this. Tell me more, please. Tell me more. You know, and it was like, I remember being quite taken aback by it of like, oh, okay. Like, sure, I'll tell you all about it, you know? And yeah, that was such power, you know, such power to just hold it. And I mean, I already knew that it was my stuff. And
totally.
Just the way that you held it, it was like, no, like this is all mine.
Yeah, I also thought it was really sexy, right? It's so sexy to say, it's actually really dominant. People think that vulnerability is not dominant because of the fucked up world that we live in. But vulnerability is extremely dominant. And so what turned me on about you coming to me was the fact that you are unknowingly stepping into feminine dominance in your action. That's why I was turned on. I went, oh my God, she has actually stepped into feminine dominance in her actions right now, and she has no idea. And the fact that she's done that means that she is ready, right? Hey, Pamela, I have something to share with you. You triggered me in these ways, right? Like, that's so dominant. It's so dominant. It's also extremely feminine to do that. And so naturally, I was very turned on by you saying that to me.
You're welcome.
I'm also quite kinky. So I love you too. I'm also quite kinky. So I kind of love it. And for me, it's always the intention, right? You weren't saying it to bring me down. You were saying it to actually say, hey, I have to tell you something. I mean, the example that I love, and I teach a lot about this, so I'm not going to go too into it. You definitely have to work with me if you want to know more about this. What I will say, though, is the example I love in this is thinking about the world of BDSM. If you are in this space of mistress, and your submissive comes to you and goes, mistress, I have to tell you something, and I think you're going to be mad at me, right? Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who just spent the last week, you know, worshiping you or whatever. Just, I mean, they're even your submissive,
right?
How about just that? And they say, Mistress, I have to tell you something, and I think you're going to be mad at me. What kind of mistress would lash out? I mean, actually lash out. I know punishment is a thing that is played with, but that's in a pleasure-based way, right? What kind of mistress would lash out? What kind of mistress would go, how fucking dare you say that to me, right? That would just shut them down. I mean, that would ruin everything. That would be the deadening of all play and all experience. And it's quite toxic and actually abusive. Whereas a good mistress, a good dom, a good dominant, a good dominatrix would of course say, I'm so happy that you're telling me this. Look how good you are, right? Look how good you are for telling me this.
Yeah.
Tell me what else I've done to upset you, right? Tell me what else I've done. And again, I want to be clear. The nuance here is that the submissive is not trying to hurt the mistress. And if they were, I mean, they would get fired, right? They would get fired. There would be an instant, we're not going to do this anymore. You can leave. Like the play would end. The safe word gets called. That would be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The submissive is coming in full heart openness and tenderness and fear and just like, please love me even in this. Please accept me even in this, which is so powerful, so strong, much stronger than dominance. You know, submission is much more powerful than dominance. It's just that we are taught to do that as women to anyone, you know, who in many cases, almost any man, right? Anyone with that sort of dominant or masculine presence, which dominance and masculine energy are two completely different things, which is another thing I talk a lot about. You can be feminine and dominant, you can be masculine and dominant. But if unfortunately in our society, we've made masculine energy mean dominance. And so most women give the most powerful thing inside of them, which is submission, away for free and for nothing. And I think that that's the biggest sort of act of fuckery that exists in our world, you know?
I love that. So for anyone that is wanting to work with you, how do they go about getting in contact? What's the best way?
Yes. So you can email me at pamela@theawakenedaphrodite.com, or you can follow me on Instagram @theawakenedaphrodite, and you can send me a DM there. If you have come in from listening to this podcast, please let me know. Or if you've come in from our amazing Brie, let me know, because I'll give you a special bonus. And the best way is really to send me an email or to DM me. If I don't get back to you via DM, sometimes, you know, Instagram can be a little weird, but just send me an email. And that's theawakenedaphrodite.com, pamela@theawakenedaphrodite.com.
Beautiful.
And join the mistress mind.
Yes.
Join the mistress mind.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yes. So right now the start date is August the 22nd. I have shifted it slightly. It was on the 15th, but I will be moving then. So August the 22nd, it is 6 months of deep work, one-on-one work in a group container. You will step into your feminine dominance in business. In your love life, you will step into the energy of having five-figure months. You're going to step into the energy of already being loved now, and then it is going to show up in your world. You are also going to learn how to be a much better coach. I'm sure you can attest to that as well, Brie, right? Through watching me coach people and move people. I have worked with the best of the best of the best. I worked with celebrities. I have worked with people that are at the top of their game. And so in that, you're also going to get that experience too. So join the mistress mind, send me a DM saying, save my throne, and let me know that Brie sent you so that I can give you your extra special bonus.
Mm, So for anyone listening who is interested, all of the links will be in the show notes as well. I really honestly can't recommend it highly enough. And by the way, I just want to say, Pamela, I know you're on a different time zone to me, but as you were saying all of that, so it's the peak of the Lion's Gate here in Australia, I should say. And I'm looking at my clock and it's 8:08 p.m. on the 8th of the 8th.
It's 11:11. It's 11:11 on mine. What? Are you serious?
Yes.
So somebody's clock is fast. Somebody's clock. Mine says 11:11.
Oh, mine was 8:08 on the 8th of the 8th. So there's some cool numerology there.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that with me. I love 8. The infinity.
Yeah.
The infinity is just the best.
Yeah, and they're abundance too, right? 8's the number of wealth.
It is. Yes,
I love this.
It is.
I love this. Well, thank you so much.
As well.
Sorry.
Thank you so much. And love as well. Infinite love.
Of course. Of course. This has been incredible. I could chat to you forever. I can't say it enough, Pamela. I think the world of you, you've absolutely changed the trajectory of my life. And again, to anyone that is interested in working with Pamela, please don't hesitate to get in contact with her. Is there anything you want to say before we close it off?
Yes. I would love to say that my deepest desire is that, and intention is that, every woman has the experience of working with me and understanding her deepest power. And even if you don't decide to work with me, do yourself a favor and get naked, stand in front of a mirror, sit in front of a mirror, and make it your practice to just look at yourself, look at your body, look at your breasts, right? Look at your pussy and say, thank you, 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 thank you. And just thank you for being here. Thank you for even wanting to listen to this, because if you're still listening, it means that this is for you, that this is your work. If you're still listening, it means that you are ready for this and that you have this knowing already inside of you. And so even if you don't say yes right now, thank you. Thank you for being that kind of woman. And thank you for being part of the change that I believe needs to happen in this world for not only ourselves, for our future generations to come. So thank you.
That just gave me a little shiver down my spine.
Yes. And thank you, Brie, because you are, of course, one of those women and a phenomenal leader in female power. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. All right, beautiful woman. We will chat soon.
Yes. Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. This brings us to the end of another episode of the Live Free Experience. To say thank you for your support in our relaunch, I want to offer you a live and free coaching masterclass. High Performance Nervous System Regulation is a 1-hour masterclass experience designed to support you in mental and emotional regulation for high pressure situations. This is perfect for you if you're looking to further develop your athletic career, your business management skills, or your mental, emotional, and relational skill sets. Nervous system regulation is key in living the life of your dreams, and think of this as the next level version of nervous system regulation, so that you can make grounded, centered, and non-reactive decisions in high-speed and high-stakes circumstances. To sign up or register for the replay, if you can't make it live, head to www.thelivefreeexperience.com and enter your details. Lastly, I'm a real human back here and I would love your feedback. Please drop me a review or reach out and let me know what you've gained from the episode. Even better still, tag me in your social media stories and I can share your learnings across to my story too. You can connect with me on Instagram at www.instagram.com/BriannaBowley. Thank you for being here, and until next time, know that you are seen, you are appreciated, and you are loved.